But really quick, I think I figured out the flavor of.
Oh, cool. Of Tell here. Me.
Grape Big League Chew.
That's the aftertaste. These wine glasses were clean. I cleaned them myself.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted.
Hey, Jimmy.
How is it going this week?
Good.
So we have a special in-studio guest, my father-in-law, Frank Dolezal.
I guess I'm here.
Yeah, and Ted and I are in studio together. We are not Skyping this week.
Woo! Yes. In person, across the counter, on separate mics.
Yeah, so we're at Ted's house here in Los Angeles, and so we're going to be doing some beers again today, and we're going to be getting to, well, our trailers and what we've been up to and all this stuff. So, Ted,
We're calling it the TGP Quick Hit.
Quick Hit. There you go. Quick Hit. So what's the Quick Hit this week?
So the Quick Hit this week is Errol Flynn. Or not Errol
in
Flynn.
In like
Flynn.
About Errol Flynn. But it's about his early life.
It's about the discovery of Errol Flynn.
So before we get into this, what do you guys know about Errol Flynn and just his career and his life in it? I mean, do you know much?
The only thing I know about Errol Flynn is that he was in a movie called The Seahawk or something. All I know is a laserdisc on your wall.
What about Robin Hood?
No.
You know, it was like the original Robin Hood Men in Tights. You know, the one from, what was it, 1930? I don't even know.
Old guy in old movies.
But it was like one of those old, like, Technicolor movies. And
to me, the original Robin Hood was Fox. That was like 1960 or something.
Fox?
The Fox from the Disney Robin Hood.
Oh, that, okay, yeah, the Fox.
1973 for the Disney Robin
Hood. Disney Robin Hood. Who did the Robin Hood where the guy was, he spoke in an English, or I'm sorry, an American accent?
Kevin Costner.
That was like...
Yeah, Prince of Thieves.
There you go. That one was just awful. You know, I mean, the movie was okay, but why does he speak in an American accent when it's a British story or whatever?
He probably tried and he couldn't get the accent.
That's his best British accent.
His best British accent is to be a fish man. Oh, no, it's a different movie. Yeah, so it's funny. This year we have an actual new Robin Hood movie, the new reboot this year. And then In Like Flynn.
Wait, isn't that Christopher Robin?
No. That's a different one. We're getting...
There's another one.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, cool.
Robin Hood. It's just called Robin Hood.
Taron Egerton.
Kingsman. He's from the Kingsman. So yeah, Taron Egerton. He's doing Robin Hood reboot with, I think, Jamie Foxx. It's neat to see that they're making an In Like Flynn movie. So a biopic about Errol Flynn and the discovery of Errol Flynn as they're shooting B-roll in South America, Papua New Guinea or somewhere exotic.
And kind of a long time ago, I don't know how long ago, 20 years ago, maybe, maybe 15 years ago, I was going through some of my dad's stuff and found his autobiography, My Wicked Ways. So I thought, well, you know, I was always a fan of, like, you know, just those old swashbuckling movies. So I figured I'd read it. And it was really interesting. I mean, the guy is like this, like, wild man, you know, I mean, drinking, womanizing, you know, like, legend has it, he's supposed to have this enormous member, you know? Yeah, I mean, he was like a chick magnet for the day, you know what I mean? And the trailer kind of gets into that a little bit, so if we wanted to start moving into the trailer.
Yeah, it totally does, yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about how, like, women just loved him, you know?
No, it's an amazing trailer that it doesn't rest a lot on legacy. It just sells the adventure, the man, the myth. The big line is, every man wanted to be him, every woman wanted to be with him.
Well, and the cool thing is he's almost like a real life Indiana Jones is kind of what I get out of the trailer. Like, you know, the fighting and running around in Papua New Guinea, getting chased by natives, shooting a gun that then misfires or whatever. And like, kind of like how, you know, Harrison Ford would have done.
Right. No, a lot of Indiana Jones. They're doing the Jungle Cruise with The Rock later next year, I think.
That's not based on the true story of the Disneyland Jungle Cruise.
It's something around the Disneyland. It is definitely a Disney movie. So it's a strange one with The Rock.
I wonder if it's going to be like a Jumanji.
Hopefully. That's what the hope is, right?
But overall, I mean, I think this might be one I'd like to see. I mean, I'm a fan of Errol Flynn. I've watched a number of his movies growing up as a kid. They used to have like the Sunday afternoon story, whatever, on like WGN, you know, in Chicago. And I used to go to my grandfather's house as a kid. And like every year they'd play Robin Hood or they'd play The Seahawk or they'd play some other Errol Flynn movie. You know, it was always a lot of fun. And, you know, I have fond memories of those times. So I'll definitely go watch this because it'll bring back some of those memories.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned those old movies and I don't have any urge to see the old movies, but a movie like this that has a new take on something like that, I would see this.
I mean, Captain Blood, it's incredible. So you're not into like old 1940s or 50s or even late 30s movies or?
No, I think the oldest I go is Singing in the Rain, which is what? That's not even that.
Well, that might be. I think that's from like the late 50s or something.
Yeah. And I think to me, the way that this trailer plays, it definitely reminded me of the Singing in the Rain, like some of the montages.
Yeah, 1952, Singing in the Rain. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Would you go see this? You're not a huge fan of Errol Flynn.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Errol Flynn, but it looks like it's a neat take on the time. You know, it's modernized. I think it's an interesting time to revisit that space.
Yeah.
And do it in a biopic way. You know, it's like you said, it reminded me a little bit of Boogie Nights, like maybe, you know, this is even deeper early cinematography.
So do you think a movie like this would have a lot of CGI and stuff?
I hope not.
There probably is, like they show him standing on the mat. Well, not the mat. Yeah, the mast? No, what is it? Like,
oh, yeah.
Up on the crow's nest? Yeah, I guess crow's nest. But like, I mean, that's probably green screened.
Maybe somewhat. I would hope they did some of it practical.
Well, as long as it looks good and it doesn't seem like overdone and in an annoying kind of a way.
Not much of a legacy sell as far as like who's made this. Umbrella Entertainment is the production company. They're not huge, you know. The actors in it are like kind of known B actors. So it's an interesting, I think they're trying to just ride the wave of this genre in narrative fiction.
So, I mean, it's probably, do you think more fiction based on fact?
Just the lore of Errol Flynn.
All right, so let's talk about our first. We have two beers tonight, and one is I told Ted last week that I'd bring him some the Hemperer, the HPA. That was pretty rough. So now that my tongue has a beard, I think I'm ready to have another one, and so we're going to share it with here Frank and Ted. But before that, let's get into the Samuel Adams 13th Hour. And so this past summer, like I was saying, you know, my family, we took a road trip around the country, and we went to the Sam Adams Brewery, and you know, brewery tour, we tasted a bunch of awesome beers and everything. And this 13th Hour, it's a dark Belgian style stout with notes of spice, coffee, chocolate, and oak. So essentially it's like a stout with a Belgian yeast. So we'll see what it tastes like. But from what I gather, you can only get it at the brewery or maybe some like a few niche pubs in Boston, but this is not one that's sold everywhere. We should feel honored that we have such a rare find. We did haul it all the way from Boston, and the main thing is, you know, it's like 110 degrees coming across the country through the desert. Car gets hot, car gets cold, air conditioning, we bring it in at night to make sure it's was somewhat climate controlled, so who knows how this is going to turn out. let's get a good, it's cork too, which I always like corks. Oh, yeah, that's a nice open. Let's get some pours.
And you told me to get wine glasses?
So, like, a tulip glass or something is what a lot of, like, Belgian styles are done in. And since we don't have any tulip glasses or anything, I figured we'd just go wine glasses because you can get your nose into them. You know, they have that shape you can get into. We'll let the head kind of go down a little bit here. Man, it smells incredible.
Yeah.
It's dark, almost like a deep violet. I wouldn't even say it's, let me hold it to the light here. Yeah, it's pretty dark, you know, I mean, just like a stout, but, you know, as a home brewer, I like some of these too, because I want to try like some yeast, like some Belgian yeast in a stout. I mean, let's see what you get, but anyway.
All right, here it goes.
Cheers.
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 Oh, wow, that's good. Sweet.
Different flavors as it's going down.
Very complex, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a brandy or like a port. Yeah, maybe it's more like a port.
Port, it has notes of like caramel, like that sweetness.
Wow, that's really complex.
Yeah.
So it made the trip okay, I think.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I didn't have it there. I saw the style and I thought, well, hey, let's buy this one. So I bought a couple bottles and this is really good. So we'll do this here. There's probably a little bit left. Top off if one of you guys want to top off here. Here, go ahead and we'll kill the bottle. and then when we're done with this, we'll offend our palate with the Hemperer. But I don't know, you guys might like the Hemperer. We'll find out. So while we're enjoying these, and sipping on them. There we go. We killed the bottle.
Hey, the bottle is you describe the bottle with a cork and stuff, but it has a neat like a handle. It looks like a potato grenade.
Yeah, it's like a Nazi German potato masher grenade. So anyway, what have you been up to this week, Ted?
This week, I did some community service for a left turn ticket.
Oh, picking up trash on the highway, huh?
No, luckily I was just helping out at a thrift store, so it was easy.
Oh, nice.
An easy couple of days. But I was like, oh, it's due in September. And I thought I had till the end of September.
How many hours?
Like 14 hours, so 2 days.
Yeah.
But I thought till the end of September. Again, and it was the beginning of September, so I was like, I have to take some days off work to do it.
So who picks the duty that you have, the service?
I do. You do it right when you're in the courthouse.
Do they give you like a menu?
Yeah, they do. You get to choose. And literally, like the guy who was like the cashier that was giving me the option to do the community service, they said, do the community service, but you don't want the LA, what is it, LADOT or something? Because that's literally packing up trash on the side of the highway, and you have to schedule it really, you know, precisely and stuff. When you
work at the put you in chains, I can't run away.
But if you do it at a thrift store, you just show up whenever you want to show up, and you just get it done.
So why a thrift store though? Because it's like poor people go shopping, and you're helping the poor. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think they get I'm sure they have some kind of grant, like Goodwill. And I'm sure they get money back from the state for running that. So then this is part of their deal.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, good. You're doing your duty. Now you know.
I paid my debt to society.
That's right. You got to watch those left turns.
It was not a fake sign.
There you go.
How about you, Jimmy? What were you up to this week?
So this week is timely. Last week, we discussed how Jake has been skunked 3 times.
Uh-oh.
So Clarissa and I get up, you know, about 5 in the morning, and we lift weights and stuff.
Come on. Let's get serious.
And we let the dog out, and the dog does his thing and hangs out in the backyard until we decide to let him in. And, you know, he's usually out there for about like 15 minutes or something, not long. And we always let him in through the garage. He comes in tail wagging and he wants to like lick you and everything. And then he goes in the house while we finish up.
Do more. I want to say do more. No matter what.
So it's about 5:45 at this point. Clarissa lets him in, and he is covered. His whole head is covered in like mud and dirt, you know? And all of a sudden, as I described last week, skunk is, because he was skunked for the 4th time, and skunk is like a raw onion smell times like 10,000. I mean, it is so potent. And then I told Clarissa how you thought it was a pleasant smell, and it's a sweet smell.
Hello, young lover, whoever you are, I am Pepe Le Pew.
The smell you smell when your dog gets skunked is far beyond any smell you could ever, like now he kind of smells like that distant skunk smell because it's mostly neutralized. But anyway, so needless to say, we stopped doing our workout.
One whitey and flex may come up.
God damn.
Yeah.
Did he come down? I didn't even...
Oh, he's here, yeah. We stopped doing our workout, and apparently he chased the skunk, got sprayed, and then, like, he was rubbing his head in the...
Trying to get the stuff off his...
He must have been close.
Yeah. And it was all over him, you know, and...
Hot on his tail.
Yeah, is it like mace? Does it hit you like mace, like where you want to, like...
Oh, I've never been skunked. I don't know.
You don't chase the skunk?
Yeah, I do, but they're faster than me, you know, but... No, so he comes in, and all of a sudden... I hear her say, why are you so dirty? And then she goes, oh no, get out. And she shoves him out the back door. And then I said, did he get skunked? So I'm like, oh man. So we go, we get all this stuff to neutralize the skunk smell and the shampoo and get the garden hose and brushes and buckets. And I mean, both of us are out there 6 o'clock in the morning, hosing down the dog. Then she brings him in the shower, gives him the final thing. And oh man, it is just beyond the smell that you even want to ever get involved with.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's gross.
And then we have, like I said, my father-in-law, Frank, is here.
Frank, so, what's your week? What have you been up to?
Shed.
Shed. Yeah, shed. Both Jimmy and I have helped a little bit on the shed.
They've been brought into the project.
Yeah, we put some roof on today, or like the rafters, and we got the door squared up.
Jimmy did all of his shed work in one day.
Yeah.
But I've been helping Frank.
I get him out early in the morning.
Like in my half an hour before work or something.
Yeah.
Like an hour at the end of the day.
Ted, I need you to help me lift something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carry it from the front to the back, you know. And
Ted's in like his tweed jacket, patches on the elbows.
Luckily, I didn't. But most of those days were the thrift shop days, so it's all right.
Yeah. There you go. See? So how about we move into...
Sorry for your loss.
Well, hey, really quick. You said you watched a number of episodes of Jack Ryan?
Oh, I did. Yes. Let's do that. Let's do a new segment.
Yeah, because I was at the Dodger game last night with, you know, my in-laws and family and everything, so I did not see the premiere of its release, but you did. So let's hear.
Yeah. Jack Ryan is... As we know, it's a series on Amazon.
And no spoilers.
No spoiler.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I can't talk much about it. But anyway,
it
so
was good.
I watched three episodes last night. And as you and I talk about, like by the third episode, it was like I started it at midnight or something, around about midnight. And by the third episode, I was in and out of consciousness. I was falling
and
asleep.
And it's 10 episode season?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't even check the number of seasons. I just let it autoplay. The first episode was amazing. It's a pilot episode. The way we talk about trailers, having to sell the movie, sell the series, you know, the pilot has to do the same thing. You know, a lot of people will check out a pilot and decide whether they're going to watch the series or not. And then you have the pilot that does a good job and it sells you on the series, but then it's always a question of how a regular episode is going to sustain that intensity. And, you know, there's a huge firefight in the first episode. And, you know, can it sustain that throughout the series? So that's why I stayed through that second episode. And when the second episode was kind of good in a sustained way. So it was interesting to see them shift from the action of the first episode to the action mixed with all the other stuff, regular second episode. And then as the third episode, I'm a little foggy. So I agree with you. I think, you know, I should be a two episode max even on binging.
It's so much information that you can't digest it all.
Yeah, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
And then do they I mean, I don't know if this is a spoiler. I don't think it's a spoiler, but do they introduce all the characters? Well, I mean, you don't know if they're all the characters, but like the main characters that you're expecting to see?
That was my big question is they introduce Jack Ryan and then the big guy, the big money terrorist that he's going after in the first episode. And then they identify him by the end of the episode. And then I didn't know whether he was going to be there in every episode, you know, and whether there were going to be other money trails that they're going to follow. And at least for the first three episodes, it was keeping pretty tight to a cat and mouse game with the one, you know, terrorist.
Do they introduce Wendell Pierce then?
Yeah. No, they introduce him very, very early on. A fun introduction.
Oh, well, that's cool.
And being from DC, it was nice to see them in DC. I don't know that he's biking from Georgetown, downtown DC to Langley. That felt a little far for me, but I didn't even look it up on how far away it truly is.
Oh, like a bicycle?
On a bicycle. Oh, yes. You should watch. He's a bicycle.
Oh, my God. We got another. We infused bicycles into another episode. Yes. Man, so mission
another,
accomplished.
Another mission accomplished.
You know, to drop the banner. Jack Ryan, right? Yes.
Yeah. So, and Jack Ryan, you know, there's this amazing thing where we saw it in 12 Strong early on, and early on one of our, you know, first trailers we covered.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the ceiling fan, like if I...
Oh, with the helicopters.
You think you have the ceiling fan going, and then it turns into like a flashback of some kind of Afghan, interaction or something. So it's very, it's become like a trope of cinematography where you see the ceiling fan and you know you're in some kind of war state. And I think it even goes back to Apocalypse Now. I think they did it in Apocalypse Now.
You know what we need to look for in Homecoming that's coming out? If they have a ceiling fan scene. Now that we're sensitized to it, we all, including all our listeners and everything, and if you guys come across that, you got to hit Ted up on Twitter. Yeah. But so anyway, overall, would you say it's a sure thing?
Or I'm going to keep watching.
Okay.
I like it's going deep on the bad guy side. Then it's not saying that they're good people, but it is going in deep on the family life of the terrorists. So I like that angle. But I felt like by the third episode, it was like, where's Jack Ryan? You know what I mean? It's like, cause we spent, half an hour, 45 minutes outside of, just in this one family house, and it's so that's the interesting part to see how much they stray from John Krasinski.
All right, cool. We wanted to get into Sorry for Your Loss.
Yes.
But really quick, I think I figured out the flavor of...
Oh, cool. Of Tell here. Me.
Grape Big League Chew.
That's the aftertaste. Like once you're done with it.
It's kind of grapey, like a grape bubble gum.
Yeah. These wine glasses were clean. I cleaned them myself. So it's not from the wine. Is it because
even the fragrance on the nose, it's almost like a grape bubble gum.
Now that you said it, I agree.
Bizarre.
I'm glad we didn't do Hemper first.
Yeah, Hemper would have violated us. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Hemper. Oh my God, opening three of those?
Will that match the skunking?
Well, we better hope there's no like drug dogs going on. Sorry for Your Loss.
Okay.
It's a Facebook original.
Yes. So Facebook is, I think they've been talking about it and they have had Facebook Watch for a while now. But this
I never
is
heard
the
of
first.
It.
Yeah. Well, you're not on Facebook.
Oh, that's true. I don't have a Facebook account. Maybe that's why.
So Jimmy's not on Facebook. My Facebook account is really my wife's.
Do you need a Facebook account to watch this?
Yes.
You do need a Facebook account.
You need access to Facebook to watch.
Well, okay. But what I'm getting at is like Facebook's free.
Right.
So it's not like Prime or Netflix where you have skin in the game because you're paying money.
Right.
Your skin in the game is your privacy.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So
give up your privacy, watch the movie.
Exactly. This is Sorry for Your Loss. So it's a series. Sorry for Your Loss of Your Information.
Sorry for Your Loss of... You beat me to the punch.
Cambridge Analytica. So we don't get political, but we'll
That's
just say
right.
that.
Well, we try not to, but sometimes we can't help it.
So it's interesting that, like you said, this is a free service. Facebook is not making any money directly off of its consumers. But
advertising.
It is making tons of money, billions of dollars on advertisers. And now it's making creative content with huge name people starring in it. Elizabeth Olsen, who is an Avenger, is starring in this series for Facebook. So it's interesting, like it says, and it says you have to follow for new episodes. It's like, last week we were talking about Stream, King Lear, Stream on Amazon. So now it's like follow for new episodes, and it has no inclination of how many episodes there are or how long it's going to go on.
It almost dares you to not follow.
Yeah, it's like we have no idea when we're going to drop them. We'll drop them every day. We'll drop them on an odd schedule.
But the only way to find out is to follow us.
You have to follow it. So it's like, yeah.
So we've talked about like in Netflix, they'll look at the content people watch, when they start watching, when they stop watching, the various shows that are more like, what would you call it? Like popular among like certain demographics because they know your demographics. And do you think that Facebook looked at the way people like and share and all the information that comes across Facebook and they said, you know what? This is kind of the focus group of what like the billions of users are doing. And this focus group of like the planet is kind of what brings us to this story. And these are the things that hit people the most and what gets people to interact the most on Facebook. So let's create a series based on that information.
I completely agree with you. And I'm pretty sure Frank hasn't even seen this trailer. So just to give you and the listeners a little bit of a taste of it, everybody can watch it by clicking on it. But it's an interesting look at a young widow and her coming to grips with the fact that she doesn't want to get over the loss of her husband at a very early age. And when she searches his friends and when she searches on his social media and she's looking for pieces of him that are still out in the world, and she comes across, you know, good things and bad things. And it's just like she makes up, a young love that was taken too soon and she tries to piece it together. I mean, it kind of speaks to the idea of Facebook, you know, when you think of what Facebook does as far as serving you up things that you did years ago. My favorite thing, is to see pictures of the kids that we get served up 6 years ago. Here's a picture of what was going on today 6 years ago for in your life. And it's like baby Bryce doing something awesome. You know what I mean? And that's this kind of thing, except in a super served way. So it really hits you kind of like a commercial for Facebook.
Yeah.
As well as a series. So it's like it's hitting you on many levels.
So the guy who keeps coming back around in the trailer,
like the best friend or the brother.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is it the best friend or the brother, or are those the flashbacks that Facebook is feeding up to her? And it's like her, you know, like, I don't know, brain, like seeing this guy, but he's not there, but it's like what she wishes was there, or what she wants to be there.
Right. I mean, it's one of the reasons I want to tune in is I want to see it.
You want to know who that guy is.
I want to see it play out a little more cleanly. I mean, as we discussed, the trailers don't hit you chronologically, and they kind of take you out of knowing something is happening in a certain order. So the episodes in this hopefully will clean it up, because we definitely see flashbacks and we definitely see other people, you know, that are friends, brothers, and, you know, just in the normal group. So I think it's interesting. And I think it's also interesting as far as like when you lose someone that's too young to not want to let go, you know, and she doesn't, and she's very clear about her not wanting to let go and how everyone around her is over it. And because they're over it, they want her to be over it and they want her to move on, but she's not ready to move on.
Well, in the grieving process, I mean, people go through it and they're at their own rate.
Right.
So it's private, and it's also, it's just, you do it in the time that it takes, you know, like it's not that, well, we're done with it, so you should be done with it. I mean, those aren't good friends if you ask me, because a good friend would say, I understand, I'm here to talk if you need, or I'm here to listen if you need, maybe is a better way to say it. And then it's like, but you know, or we could just go do something fun and hang out, you know, but like, whatever you need at this time is what I'm here to serve you.
Cry and remember. And if you want to think about
that should
him,
be okay.
then you can do that.
And that might be also part of the Facebook experience, because again, as I said, are they aggregating all this data to make a show that's going to provide information, you know, to Facebook to say, this is the type of movie we should write, right? So then someone passes away, and now you're there and you're really upset and really sad and everything. And then like, you know, a friend like, you know, messages you, or they leave a comment, they give the little sad winky eye face, or what, I don't know, the little emoji. And then they'll say like, oh my God, it's so sad, but like, hey, let's go out for beers this weekend. And then like the show is like, well, that's how people really respond. So we'll just do it that way, because we really don't know how people respond, because like, you know, Zuck has like Asperger's or something. So he has no idea like how other people feel, you know, he doesn't have theory of mind, you know? So then it's like,
he's trying really hard. Okay. He's visited all the 50 states,
you know? And then he's like, well, I don't really know how people behave, so they must be this shallow and that's proper. So we'll put that in a movie or a TV series. And then people are truly shallow, and then everyone will connect and it'll be like, yeah, this is perfect.
I think it's interesting. I like the idea of it. I like the platform. I like that this is their flagship project. I'm interested in seeing it. It might bring me back to Facebook. on Facebook, I get texts from my wife saying, somebody's trying to reach out to you on Facebook. You should log in and check it out.
Like you said, it's Facebook Watch. Do they have anything else, or is this the first thing?
You and I are the wrong people to be talking about. This is the biggest thing they have.
The biggest thing, yeah. Well, and it is streaming, so we are the right people to talk to.
Okay, so yes. So it will bring me back to Facebook to watch this. I will follow them, and then I will wait for a text from Anne to say something from Sorry for Your Loss is on.
But Ted, I mean, the thing is, though, okay, so it brings you back to Facebook to watch, right? So yeah. You're going to come back to Facebook to watch this?
For an hour.
But are you going back to Facebook? Wow, I watched that. Let me see what everyone else is up to, and now I'll be on Facebook the rest of the night.
No, because I've tried to get back on Facebook a couple times in the past, like, 4 months. I think the draw of Twitter has completely turned to me.
Yeah.
You have the similar thing with Instagram, right?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I know Instagram's owned by Facebook, but so I don't have a Facebook account. I used to, and I just got tired of it, and I have my reasons, but... But the thing, so Flickr is where I put a lot of photos for a time, and I do once in a while. But what I learned over time was Flickr was more about, in my opinion, like you get in these groups and things, and it's about the cameras, and it's about the lenses, and it's about the places, and it's about everything about photography except for relationships and people. Whereas Instagram, you get into, and it's about connecting with like other bicyclists or people who are into like their pets and like other people with labradoodles, and you have these more like connections with people, but Flickr was more about like the gear you're using or the places you're shooting. And you know, it's like I kind of don't really care about the lens, I care about the relationship. But I like good photography that builds like a community.
You know, I think there are social platforms for every type of person. You know, I think I liken them to different types of parties. Like, to me, Twitter is the cocktail party and Facebook is the Thanksgiving dinner. So usually family, and sometimes you can't control who's on there. You
know? Your crazy uncle shows up. Are you in politics? You're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. So that's Facebook. And then Instagram. Instagram is this happy medium of a place. But the thing that Instagram does that kind of has turned me off, well, I know that there's a way to do it, but you have to pay to do it, where the consumerism on Instagram is kind of pushed to the background. So like Twitter, you're allowed to be self-promotional and you can be like marketing guy, yeah, and be okay with, you know, everybody's out there to promote themselves, so it's okay. But in Instagram, it feels like, you know, you need the images that are sourced from you to be relevant and to stay on top and topical. So that's the thing that I like to do it, but it's hard to stay on top.
So really quick though.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch this? I mean, I think you said so.
I'm definitely going to give it a chance. I want to watch it, and I'm very interested to see its success up against the Netflix, Amazons, you know, the people that, so it's almost like you have the traditional media groups, this, you know, the Disneys, Viacoms, the Giants, the Paramounts, all these industry giants that are, you know, being nipped at the heels by Amazon and Netflix, and they're being taken over by streaming. So now we have this even another layer of just basically attention merchants. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but attention merchants is a term by Tim Wu, who wrote a book called The Attention Merchants. And it's all about the idea of commoditizing person's attention. And when you talk about the competition between, you know, media that is produced like Netflix or Disney or something like that, and then you juxtapose it to social media where people are just looking at the things that their friends are posting, then you can say, if you're just talking about a person's attention, then that unit of attention is equal across all boards, you know?
Yeah.
So this is saying like, oh, Netflix is cutting into traditional media, but they're also cutting into social media, you know, because of their offerings, because of what they have to offer. It's such a wide variety of things to offer. So as a counter move, Facebook is like, oh, well, we can do produced media as well, and we can do this. So we have enough money to challenge you as a new, you know, a new champion of a big, huge chunk of people's attention. You know, when we were over at TIFO podcast, they said Netflix said the only competition they have is sleep. And I think that is the idea. That is the essence of what it is to be an attention merchant. When you're an attention merchant, you are vying for someone's attention until they fall asleep. So me going to sleep to Jack Ryan is the perfect, you know, answer for Amazon. They don't care that I'm falling asleep. All they care about is the fact that I'm falling asleep to them.
Yeah.
But what happens if it's halfway through the first episode?
Yeah. Then I won't come back, right?
Exactly. That is service agnostic. I'm not going to watch this.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, like, I don't care what networks it's on, but I'm not going to watch this for the sole purpose that, like, a one-off movie, like just a two-hour movie, if you want to drag your heart through the mud and you want to be, you know, sad and, like, you know, maybe it touches you because you've lost people in life, as we all have, you know, I mean, sure, that's one thing, but episode after episode, week after week, I'm gonna be like down and depressed, and I mean, I just don't want to be in that emotional state. Like, going into every episode, I know I'm gonna come out a train wreck on the other side. I don't want to watch this.
The trailer tried to leave you interested, positive sense, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like you said, like giving her the space to grieve. I would hope that the pilot would leave you in an uplifted space so that you would want to tune in again.
Yeah.
You'd have to like put the heavy stuff at the front end of the episode. You know? Yeah. So,
and maybe it'll become more upbeat. And we don't know that yet.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Because if it's like, oh my god.
Oh no, there's no
she's
way.
She's grieving every week.
If every week somebody, well, for a new friend of hers, says, "Come on, you have to get out," and she's like, "No, I don't want to," and then we spend half an hour with her sitting on the sofa crying, then nobody's gonna watch that.
Yeah, that's just awful. That's my vision, but. Okay, so we have the Hemperor coming out, and I want to get...
Before we go through Slice, we should definitely hit the Hemperor.
And we should definitely take a break soon. We haven't had a break in weeks.
All right.
All right, let's hit the Hemperor. We'll take a break, and then we'll get into Slice.
Cool.
All right, Ted, why don't you have the honors of...
All right, so I'm going to open the Hemperors, and I'm going to get that whiff.
Yeah, here. You know what? I'm going to bring glasses over to you.
Oh, yeah, I do like that. That is amazing.
Holy cow.
I love this smell. This is exactly the smell.
Did I tell you it's like skunk weed?
It is the skunk weed.
I know, 2 weeks in a row, but like I told Ted I was going to bring some for him, so.
Oh, it is delicious.
Maybe this is what Jake was smelling and he went chasing after it.
Jake's a pothead dog.
he's chasing skunk weed. All right, let's take a quick break.
If you enjoy our trailer reviews, or even if you hate them, let us know. We love feedback. We're on Twitter at @TJunkiesPodcast and Instagram at @TrailerJunkiesPodcast. You can also comment on the episodes at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Our email is info@trailerjunkiespodcast.com. And you could also leave us a review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's get back to it.
All right, Slice. So what's your thought of Slice? Another one from A21.
21's how old you have to be to drink. This is A24, yes.
What did I say?
Is it A21?
Oh, A24. Yeah.
So A24, they're hitting home runs all over the place since you guys went to the Dodger game last night.
Did we do this on episode 21 or 24?
We did episode 21, I believe, but it was A24.
Okay, that's where I got the confusing.
Yes, A24 trailer spective was on episode 21. And I did, when I was looking back at that, I was thinking like how novice we were. We should have just held it for a couple more weeks to get.
Yeah. A24 on episode 24. And that's why I'm like, oh, episode 21, it must be A21. Like,
no, we were just pushing them out. I was just finding stuff. And
yeah,
and they were up and comers with a great slate of movies. And then now this Slice movie, it's about doorway to the underworld, to the other side, to hell. But through a pizza shop.
Does this remind you of How to Talk to Girls at Parties blended with Stranger Things?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I don't know how they're getting their data, but this feels like a great, a great idea. And I don't know whether it's just executives sitting around a room, old school style, but it is Chance the Rapper is the main executive on this project.
Right.
And the director of this is his videographer. The guy who does all of his music videos is the director of this film and has a lot of great talent in it.
Well, Joe Keery, he's in Stranger Things and now he lands in this. So it's kind of like, you know, like a carryover role.
Yeah.
So what is the giveaway to you that it's similar to How to Talk to Girls at Parties and Stranger Things?
Well, I think that is just the pace and the overall feel of the trailer and the movie. You know, it sells it on that level.
See, I'm thinking more like the theme.
Yeah.
Like the underworld and Stranger Things kind of has that underworld.
The magical side of it.
Yeah, well, and just getting into what is like below our feet.
So Paul Scheer I'm a huge Paul Scheer fan. He's a great podcaster, actor, fantasy football player, and producer, I guess. And he's in this movie as the owner of the pizza parlor. So he's a huge comedy talent. Oh, and I did my fantasy football today, so I'm very happy with my team, my two quarterback team. So
there you go.
I'll be talking about that in weeks to come. But yeah, no, this has a great cast with Hannibal Buress and Chris Parnell and Paul Scheer and Chance the Rapper. So it's going to have amazing kind of pull.
Oh, there's talent for sure. Yeah.
And then just a very simple, fun, comedic story that just seems to hit all the right notes. And it's a very simple, simple story. So I love the idea of going to a movie and just surrendering yourself. It's kind of like, it's a mix between the Wayans Brothers movies back in the day.
Where they're getting their information, how they're collecting data. And is it the type of situation where you just have a bunch of execs sitting around a room discussing topics and ideas with writers? I mean, we go back to this, you know, there's only 7 story arcs in any kind of theater novel. I mean, you know, people have been telling stories for 10,000 years. And if there's only 7 different, like, where do you think, or how do you come to understand when people decide to create a movie based on certain information? You know, like we were talking with Netflix, they look at the data. Facebook, I made the comment that they're looking at the likes and the shares and who's responding and how they're replying. And then they're responding accordingly.
Yeah.
But something like an A24
or a traditional media company
or okay, sure, like, you know, you're looking at, you know, like 20th Century Fox or Disney or any of these, where are they getting the information and ideas? Or do you think it's just somebody pitches something and says, like the old days, hey, here's an idea, I'm gonna pitch something I wrote, and then there's somebody in an executive office saying, great idea, we'll run with
it. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about A24 is how spot on they've been with millennials and with that space. And I think their executives have a finger on the pulse of what's hot. And I think that's an interesting thing. How they're getting it, I have no idea. But I know that even in the big media space, we're still getting, we're still doing a mix of data and, you know, executives' gut visceral reactions, you know?
I don't know. Are you going to see this?
I want to see it, but I'm probably going to end up streaming.
If I see it, it's going to be a stream. This movie strikes me as something I want to see with my boys in like 14 years from now. Yeah, we're going to sit down. Whatever comes out at that time.
So he'll eventually see it.
Yeah, what I'm saying though is like, we're going to sit down. We're going to I'm not saying this movie, but a movie like this movie.
Yeah, it's so funny. Today, Bryce, so Anne got a bunch of the Transformer movies for Bryce to watch. And the Transformer movies are all the first of them. You know, we were talking about sharing them with Bryce and Audrey's not just interested in it at all. But Bryce was very interested in the movies, in that cyberverse, cyber universe. So we started to watch them with him, and they're PG-13, I believe. So we watched the first movie with him, and we had to fast forward one part, or he hides his eyes for most of the stuff that he doesn't want to see. So after we watched the first one, he said, "Oh, Timmy's gonna have to wait 5 years to see this," or something like that.
I said
that's only if he could see it when he's, you know, your age or a little bit older than you, but that's PG-13, Bryce, and you're only 9. Like, he goes, oh, well, that means PG-13 means if you're under 13, it's up to your parents to decide. I'm like, yeah, kind of. But it also means if you're
13. I like 13- how he's trying to game the system.
I love that he's trying to, you know, give
Put
Timmy.
It on you.
He's trying to give Timmy and Mikey, like, he wants to shit. Yeah. He's already at a point where, like, he just saw this movie and it's still like a, like has, you know, romantic themes that he's not into now. Like,
yeah.
He was hiding, like, Megan Fox is in this and it's like 2007 Megan Fox and it's like amazing and he's like hiding his eyes and stuff.
That's funny.
But yet he wants to share some of the other stuff with Timmy and Mikey, yeah. And he's like and he's looking forward to the future, like you said.
No, there's been a few times where, like, the boys have seen somebody smoking. They're like, Daddy, what are they doing? And I'm like, killing themselves. Yeah, you know, they're like, they are? I'm like, slowly, but yes.
So how's this beer hitting you on the second time around?
Oh, I had one earlier today. No, I didn't have one earlier today. Clarissa had one earlier today. I opened it and I took a sip. And I mean,
I like it. I like the novelty.
I like the novelty of it.
It really...
I don't think it's that strong.
So here's the funny thing. I keep saying how much I don't like it, yet I'm advertising for it.
I know, keep buying it.
New Belgium is a great company.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I love their beers, you know, and they're part of what got me into home brewing, you know?
But, yeah, I mean, they're Citradelica, if you want to talk about that. There's two flavors. There's a lime Citradelica and a lemon Citradelica. And I remember I had four of those beers the first night that I saw Inherent Vice.
Oh, Inherent Vice. Oh, I still have to see that. We did cover that in our Joaquin Phoenix trailerspective. Okay, so like I said, I mean, just to wrap up Slice. So it's the kind of movie that I think as my kids get older, just like the Marvel movies, you know, and the superhero movies and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not really a fan, but if my boys want to go to the movies or we're going to watch it at home and we're going to make it a bucket of popcorn and we're going to do these things and we're going to have like a mom, dad and, you know, parent, son, like extravaganza.
Do you think it's a family friendly movie though?
When they're like in high school?
Oh, high school. Okay,
listen,
yeah.
I'm not talking about when they're 3 and 5. No. I'm saying, like, you know, and I mentioned this in prior podcasts where we have, you know, family members that'll put stuff on Facebook. Like, they'll go to see, you know, Spider-Man, you know.
Deadpool.
They'll go see all this stuff. And they take pictures in front of, like, the major signs, you know, like the big 3D cardboard cutout signs. And, you know, they'll do these shots with themselves, you know, with their family and everything that they're there. And like, yeah, that's cool. Like, you're experiencing that with your kids who are like in their mid-20s or something now. You know, like, I don't want to get there too quickly, but I look forward to those times when, like, we can have those, like, mutual experiences.
Right.
And maybe they'll bring me more into the fold. And then, you know, like, I don't know, we'll just get into it. Anyway, let's hit into the front runner. So this is a bit of a historical thing that we've all lived through.
All of us have lived through it.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know if all of the people listening, but the people recording in here have lived through it. So Gary Hart.
So Gary Hart for president, 1988. Now Hugh Jackman is playing the role of Gary Hart in The Front Runner. An amazing story and trailer for a great, I mean, I truly remember, this is like the first political memory that I had as a child. This, I mean, I just going to take another break because the Hemperor, after you panning it last week,
yeah.
It's one of my new favorite beers.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, it's good. I like it too. It's very nice.
Oh my God. I got to shave my tongue after this beer.
So this trailer for The Front Runner, the minute that I saw it, I immediately got Anne off of Facebook and I said, Anne, you have to watch this trailer with me again because Anne is a huge Nina Simone fan. So it has Sinnerman playing throughout the trailer, which is a phenomenal song, perfect for the topic, you know, and just the notes of Sinnerman have a frenetic kind of beat to it where it just drives action. So in the beginning, it has the opening chords of Sinnerman, the song. And I thought that's a great place to leave it. But when you watch the trailer, it goes into the full song and it has Nina singing over a lot of it. And I think to me, I was like, ooh, this is kind of treading on dangerous territory because you end up being in a place where you have this idea of Sinner Man, but your movie's called The Front Runner. So when I posted it on Twitter, I said, my big takeaway is that you might end up in this Live, Die, Repeat space where the movie is called Edge of Tomorrow, but everybody calls it Live, Die, Repeat because the tagline is so good. So if you say Sinner Man repeatedly over and over again in a trailer that is for a movie called The Front Runner, that you might drive The Front Runner out of people's consciousness with the idea of Sinner Man. And as I walked away from it, I said, oh, that new Hugh Jackman movie is great. Is it, you know, I know it's called The Front Runner, but I want to call it Sinner Man, you know?
All right, I'll have to pay attention to that now. I'm not really...
You're not attuned to that part of it?
I don't know. We'll have to, well, you know what? The thing that kind of threw me, though, was... So they start off and Hugh Jackman's standing there and he's on that CRT television that's like all staticky.
Yeah.
And this is 1988 now, right? So, you know.
The perfect way to pull you back into that world.
I don't know about that though, because you have like Sony Trinitrons and you have like cable TV, right? And like it got to the point where no, like people like cable, like that over the air static, analog static. I mean, I don't know if you're, maybe if you were doing rabbit ears, that would happen. But I think most people by that point probably had a decent picture. That reminds me of like 1978, not 1988.
No, I think it's a... So to people of 2018, which is where we're talking right now, I think this is just... I think 1988 to people other than these three people here, to millennials, might as well be 1970. When you're this far removed from 1988, which is what?
30 years.
30 years.
No. Exactly 30 years.
Isn't it 40 years?
No.
30. No, 40 years would be 78.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So 30 years ago, I mean, it might as well be a lifetime ago for people that are under 30. You know, if it happened before.
It was a lifetime ago.
So literally, it's a lifetime ago.
It's more than a lifetime ago.
Right. So I think that's the idea that I take from it. And I think there was static, and it doesn't matter whether it's 78 or 88. But I like the idea when we were talking with the voiceover guys and how we said that in a world is a trope that we've kind of done away with. This idea of static showing to be the past.
Right.
It's a way to get you in the world that is before your lifetime.
So I think what's cool about this trailer, and it kind of gives hint to it when it gives you the legacy card. So you have Up in the Air, but I think more Thank You for Smoking, but Up in the Air a little bit.
Both of those are spot on.
What I see here is I don't think it's necessarily a Gary Hart story. I mean, it is a Gary Hart story, but I think it's more a story about the switch from when journalism was journalism to when journalism became sensationalism.
Ah.
And so when you look at like Thank You for Smoking, that was kind of a parody on the way we did smoking advertising,
right?
And the way we did the way we sold nails in the coffin essentially was a way that we got people to smoke even though they knew it was bad for them. Yeah, people knew it was bad for them, but it was a way to get people
cool
to continue doing it, right? And it's like people want true and good media. They want true and good news in this world of quote-unquote fake news and all that stuff. But then when you bring in like, you know, somewhere it had to have like a switch because Walter Cronkite was like the trusted uncle who brought you the day's news and he was like the main guy, right? And then when did everything switch from that to like the sleaze stories? And when you look at like Gary Hart sitting on a boat that says Monkey Business with his mistress for a presidential election, I mean, that was like, and then obviously like the Monica Lewinsky Clinton stuff came out and there was all that. And people cared more about that than they did like policy.
Right.
You know, and I think that was, I think this might be where they're kind of the demarcation line for the switch with like journalism to sleaze. What do you think, Frank?
Too many people out there reporting. That's the issue.
Too many 24-hour news channels
trying to dig up stuff. You know, if that happened, you know, way back when. I mean, that stuff went on forever.
Yeah, but, I mean,
now there's just trying to. People are trying to dig it out and dig something out.
And it's also that it could be funded. I mean, I don't know, but it could.
Like the Ruskies.
The Ruskies, yeah. But I mean, at that time too, who knows? I mean, this is mere speculation, but who knows? The Bush campaign may have been funding, or somebody who supported Bush could have been funding, like, go dig up all the dirt you can on him because we got to win this election.
I mean, there was always the mudslinging was always a thing, but it never was as effective as this. I think
the problem is the platform now.
Right.
The media. When you're slinging mud. When there's just newspapers,
right,
it's very difficult for it to hit many people.
You give me the pictures, I'll make the war.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, it's from yellow journalism back in the day,
and now it wags the dog.
It's kind of exploded, and I liken this. It, you know, it's funny that Frank said the thing about not digging too deep into a passed away loved one. I mean, this is the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, you dig too deep into anything. You have, you know, at least three 24-hour news channels.
Yeah.
They're going to dig deep in everything because
right.
they want to do it. They want to watch it.
That's how they're making their money.
They need to sell catheters. They need to sell catheters to all these people.
And I think the biggest issue that you come upon is you're looking at someone like a Gary Hart or Bill Clinton or, I mean, whatever it is, and everybody's like worried about like who's giving blowjobs to who, you know, but like no one's talking about policy.
Right.
Right.
No one's talking about like the stuff that actually matters to like my day to day or your day to day or my kid's future.
And, yeah. and it's so funny because everybody says that the wallet is where people vote, but it's really not where people watch television. People don't watch television over things that affect their wallet, their pocketbook.
Yeah.
They watch television for salacious material.
Well, and that goes back to the bleeds that leads.
Yeah. We're talking about when you talk about what's on television, television is always trying to expand its audience. So it's always trying to hit a wider audience.
And what is Trailer Junkies?
We're luckily so small that we don't, our wider audience is still very, very focused, niche.
Right. Getting bigger though.
It is getting bigger, yes. But no, I think the biggest issue that I take with stories like this, and like I said, I think the overarching theme is more how the media handles scandal and what the media is going to do with things. And I think Gary Hart is just the vehicle that they're using to get there. But I mean, and some people might be totally like, oh my God, Gary Hart was my man, and oh, he broke my heart, you know, kind of a thing, you know. But I think he's just the vehicle to tell the bigger story of how the media has changed to just follow, you know, to follow the sleaze.
That's the underlying issue, right? I mean, the idea with Gary Hart was there was that picture of him.
That's what I'm
with
talking
monkey
about.
Business, and it's like, and if you can control
and the girl parts, on his lap,
right?
Yeah.
If you can control that part of the media, if he had a friend at the National Enquirer, then he could have, you know, made it to the presidency.
Probably, yeah.
you know, I was too young to vote at the time. I was
Me
still,
too.
Yeah, I was in high school, but
and I was in a very different family, so I was cheering the fact that he was going down in flames as a child. I was not in a, you know, I was in a household that was
Reagan centric,
very Reagan centric.
Yeah, so was mine. Yeah. Reagan, Bush. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I think Bush would have won anyway because he was following or. He was riding
that tail.
The Reagan tail. Yeah, you know, and I mean, and that's, you know, another argument. But I think what we're more talking about is like how media depicts the things that matter to people enough to sway elections.
Right.
And we're coming upon election. And it says it's released election day.
I have something to say about that.
Go for it.
So to me, the end page is very, very confusing. So if we look at the end page, we kind of dissect. Dissected a little bit. it says based on the true story, Election Day, frontrunner.movie, the frontrunner.movie. Okay. So this is the end page. This is the one card that they have at the end of this movie. This is done by Sony Pictures. They're a huge company. They're not like Umbrella or even A4 that's new.
Yeah. Sony is one of the top, four?
Yeah.
Three.
Right. But they have this confusing end page. It says, based on a true story, Election Day. Why would you say based on a true story, Election Day? Doesn't it make it sound like Election Day is the name of a book or a name of a movie that it's based on or something like that?
That's what I initially thought.
Yeah. Right? So you have to like spend time. When you have a card up on screen for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, tops 5 seconds, you don't want to have to freeze frame it and dissect it and figure out what it's trying to tell you. It's saying that it's released on Election Day, and it's saying separately
is it?
That it's based on a true story.
Is it released on Election Day?
Yes. I mean, that's what it's saying.
Election Day is November 6th.
Right.
This comes out November 7th. You tell me. I mean, unless it's coming out.
When they claim they've counted all the votes.
I mean, there might be a hanging Chad, you
know? Or a hanging Jim, or a hanging Ted, or hanging Frank.
Which brings in more ridiculous news scandal going back to the 2000 election. I mean, like, and I guarantee you that becomes a made for TV movie one of these days.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and really quick, one thing I did want to mention. Speaking of that, when we look at Sorry for Your Loss, that totally strikes me as like an Oprah Winfrey. An Oprah Winfrey channel or, you know, I don't know. What's the other one that women are on?
Lifetime?
Lifetime, yeah.
Hallmark?
It's Hallmark. It's a total, like, one of those kind. So I don't know, and I meant to say this earlier and it slipped past me, but I don't know what Facebook's thinking because, well, maybe I do know what they're thinking. Maybe they know the people who frequent Facebook most are women.
Yeah.
Maybe guys aren't on Facebook that much, so they're like, guys won't care about this. But, like, women are on here all day, every day. So let's just do it, you know, whatever. I don't know.
It's a modern day soap opera. I'm interested.
Wait, which one?
Sorry for Your Loss.
Sorry for Your Loss. Okay. Yeah. No. But anyway, I don't want to get back to that. We don't cover that one.
Yeah.
But the front runner, though, I mean, I think it's like, I want to watch it because I want to see where it goes with regard to how it lays out the story of the media and how the media covers like sleaze arguments.
Right.
Or sleaze stories in a sense. I don't really care about the Gary Hart story because I remember it in the news, you know, I lived it in my life. It's not a story that really means anything to me. And it's not really a story that I think like really matters because he didn't win anything, you know?
Well, I really want to see it. I want to see it because I was so adamantly opposed to it at the time because of the indoctrination of growing up in a Reagan household and just knowing that I was rooting against it at the time.
Right.
And now looking back at it, I probably wouldn't have rooted so against it. I would have given him a lot more leeway. You know, I had a hard time with Clinton, you know, in those years too, but it was a hard thing to sell, you know, like to separate the policy from the person, you know? That's the thing that this movie is trying to sell is the idea that Gary Hart's policy positions were the right move for the country, and they were never actualized because of this frailty, because of this part, this fault that he had inside of himself. And it was a hubris. It was a thing that he was kind of openly closed off about, and he thought he could separate it the way that Kennedy separated it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a new time, and like you said, in the new space of journalism where journalists weren't going to be polite anymore. And now we're in a space where the politicians aren't polite anymore. So it's like, it's a pendulum that keeps swinging.
Well, and Ted, I think the main thing about it is like, if this were to come about today, let's say you were, I don't know, mid-40s, in 88, right?
Right.
And you had the mindset you have today.
Frank is raising his hand.
Frank was in his mid-40s in 88, right. But what I'm saying, though, is like, all things equal, put that story here today, Reagan and Gary Hart and George Bush Sr. and all that stuff. I think the difference is, it's not that you would be rooting for or against Reagan or rooting hard or anything. You might still be rooting for Reagan, but I think the overall side of it is you would be asking different questions.
Right.
And you would be looking at, like, you know, is this an ad hominem attack? And you're just attacking the person, the policy is irrelevant, you know, and that's really what it boiled down to, was the policy was irrelevant. He might have had great policy, but it was politics, and it was, you know, how do we get people in middle America to vote against this guy? What we do is we say he's an adulterer, and, you know, God-fearing, church-going people are going to vote against that. It doesn't matter if, you know, they're trying to, his policies would make their labor force better, would make their factory better, would make, you know, whatever it is, you know, their careers and jobs and stuff better, or their place in the world. It was about this man having an extramarital affair on his wife, and therefore he is not worthy of the White House. He is not worthy of the Oval Office. And maybe nowadays we would ask different questions as more learned individuals, you know? All right, man. So what real quick, I don't know. I mean, I might watch this.
It'll I'm going to see this. It might be a date night. Frank, we might be calling you. Anna might be calling you. watch the kids.
The baby's service is always open.
So you're thinking maybe a date night. I'm thinking...
It's funny. Is it funny to take your wife to an adultery movie on a date night?
What were we talking about like a couple weeks ago? Like Rupert Holmes, you know, like if you like pina colada, like, the guy and the gal, they're both wanting to cheat on each other. And then they find out the person they're cheating on is the person that they're with.
Yeah. It's just reinforcement. It's reinforcement that you are meant to be together.
Yeah. Is that what that is? Yeah. So you're so eager to cheat on your spouse that you wind up cheating on your spouse with your spouse.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Monkey business. It's all monkey business.
I'll tell you what. If I can sell Clarissa on that, then by all means, but I don't think she's buying.
Like but, circular argument.
But I don't know. I mean,
let's stop talking with your father-in-law.
That's right. His daughter ain't buying. I'm not selling, you know. But anyway, the front runner. I mean, I might watch this on a stream. I mean, it, you know, because I know we always go back to that, but it's just these movies just don't like. I can't come to grips to make it like an $80 night,
right?
For like, you know, babysitters and bucket of popcorn and tickets.
Cheaper. See, I told you.
I can't make it even for $45.
Well, and we're AMC members.
Well,
we're AMC Premier members, so Tuesday night is $5 movie night. So
you know, that's
a $10 night.
$10, I mean, I could probably get away with that, you know, but I mean, that's the thing, though. So many of these movies come out that I just don't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no problem, you know, in my living room, you know, whatever, watching, and I'll make popcorn. I make good popcorn too, but
once you're in a cycle where you know that you're going to be waiting for the movies to come to your streaming service, then you're in that timing.
Yeah.
You're in a timing where all the major movies are hitting you in the time and space that you're in the streaming service, you know. So it's like you're not missing out on anything because you're always catching up on things.
So what you're saying is, okay, so when we look at series, right?
Yeah.
And let's say they come to Netflix like the year later, the season later. So right. Like whatever, there's 10 seasons or maybe 9 seasons. And while the 10th season is rolling, you're watching season 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Or whatever it is. But so it's kind of that same thing. You're always in that like realm. The worst year is the first year because you're waiting. And then after that, it just rolls you season after season.
And usually the first year it doesn't have that cachet that the later years have. So you're always catching up. Like Breaking Bad, I got into in season 5, I think, and it only had 6 seasons.
Yeah, we got into Breaking Bad like season 2, season 3, somewhere in there.
So then you're waiting for every season, but I waited for no seasons. I watched 5 seasons in rerun.
And by the time you do that, the last season's released.
Yeah. And I waited for like 3 episodes to hit that. And it was done.
Yeah, I love that. So speaking of which, and then we'll close on this.
Yeah.
You guys are not a fan of Game of Thrones.
We are not game. We will not be doing another podcast called Game of Thrones Minute. If you wanted to do that.
However, Clarissa and I, you know, me and Clarissa, Me and Clarissa, I think it's me and Clarissa. But anyway, we're such fans. Well, she plowed through all the books. I read the first book, you know, I haven't read any since, which I want to read. But when the final season comes out, which is like going to be, what, 2.5 years since the last season? I mean, it's like, I know all those Game of Thrones fans are like...
Are the fans still out there? Are they still there?
Oh, we're champing at the bit. When that comes out, we will do an enormous trailer review of that.
Yes, trailerspective.
Yes, and maybe we'll even get into other things with that. I don't know, but it's because it's so huge that I think, you know, everybody out there is going to want to hear about it, and I'm going to want to hear what I have to say about it. I don't know what I'm gonna say. And then Ted, he's just along for the ride.
I love it.
Yeah, so anyway, what do you say we get out of here, guys?
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you, Frank.
Oh, well, thanks for having me here. Sorry.
I
messed things up.
No, not never. Never.
Interjecting.
Oh, no. You're supposed to interject whenever.
He's etched in internet lore at this point. You know, and I'm just happy to hear that you guys both like the Hemperor. I'm glad I brought some for you.
Did you bring more?
Yeah.
You have two more at the house.
We do have a couple more at the house. Yeah, so across the street. So
I bet we can share it.
No. You guys drink it. Enjoy it. There's some Anchor Steam over there. There's other beers. You know, I'll have something else. I'm not into it.
All right. Have a great one.
All right, Frank. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ted. We'll talk to you guys
later. See ya.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.